Yeah. Okay, I'm going to introduce our last speaker, and as I said, I'm hoping to have 5 or 10 minutes at the end for discussion. Our next speaker is Kate McFall, who's a co-investigator, an occupational health nurse who conducts research at the Center for Work and Health Research at University of Maryland. Kate?
Good morning, everybody. I hope you're still really interested in needle sticks and home care. I hope you're fascinated by it. Yeah. I don't know how to change the slides. Just the mouse clicker. Okay. So again, I'm not Jane Lipscomb. She's the PI on this project. I just want to echo what everyone else said and really credit Sherry with having this portfolio of projects come together every year and be in a very sharing mode with data and ideas and methods. And I'd like to just add one more benefit that has certainly resulted from this project is that the sheer number of doctoral students that are being educated, and some of which might not have taken an occupational health focus. I know that's certainly true. At the University of Maryland, we have three doctoral students, and I know we are also partnering with the University of Illinois at Chicago. So Rosie Sokas, who's here, Joe Zanoni, Lisa Brown, and Shockey also need to be acknowledged. And then on our side, we have a veritable army of people too. And part of that is because, and what I'm going to do is I have too many slides here for the allotted time. I'm going to pass through a lot of the background that you've heard, which we, basically echo and agree with. But I do want to take the tack here that, this is a regulated hazard, okay? So we have accomplished the regulation for bloodborne pathogens for healthcare workers. Our question is, we have two populations that we have done an intervention study with, and I'm going to be reporting still on time one cross-sectional data from both personal care assistants who were in Illinois, working in Illinois, and registered nurses who were working in Maryland. And both of those populations have time two surveys. The personal care assistant survey is back from the field. The RN survey is still in the field. So we have yet another probably year of looking at data, and I hope that this group can get together again next year and talk some more and really look at these data in more depth. So really all I'm going to be talking about today is just looking at that sharps and blood exposure among the RNs and comparing it with the personal care assistants and just asking the question, does the work of the personal care assistants who are offered considered non-medical or more of a social service or a domestic type of job category, could you reasonably anticipate exposure to blood and other potentially infectious materials? So these PCAs are not the home health aides that might work with the RNs or in conjunction with the RNs in more post-hospitalization types of episodic care. These are the personal care assistants that, like in our first presentation, are taking care of the chronically disabled and elderly, often through that brittle Medicaid funding stream, which I think has real implications if, you'll see. So anyway, our group of nurses was primarily practicing RNs in Maryland, who were licensed. We just surveyed them through the licensure database. We had approximately a 50% response rate. Personal care assistants are working via two large employers in Illinois, and we're members of Local 880, which is an SEIU local. We asked about the frequency of the activities that might could place them at risk for exposure to blood and body fluids, including this list, and asked about their past year exposure, both to sharps and non-sharp blood and body fluid exposures. The way we calculated our rates, I think, is similar to the others. We wanted to look at sharps and non-sharps per 100 full-time equivalents, but we did want to, at least for the RNs who had a substantial portion of their workday not in the field, we wanted to adjust for the number of hours they worked in the field. Our demographics are probably fairly similar to what you've already seen, especially the age. And again, our RNs are in Maryland and our PCAs are in Illinois. The number of years worked in home care for the RNs is pretty high, not quite as high for the PCAs in Illinois. I draw your attention, too, to the number of clients visited per day, which, of course, is more with the RNs who are going out on a more episodic basis. We had another survey that showed an even higher number of clients, so this is a little lower than we've seen, but that the PCAs are in the range that I think others have seen. And again, the number of hours in the field, what distinguishes the RNs from the PCAs is that the RNs are in jobs more than likely with an employer with some type of benefit, so that other number of hours, maybe 10 to 12, is spent in the office doing paperwork, whereas the PCAs are probably just getting that number of hours to care for their clients. Just a few graphs here to compare the typical job activities, that list of activities we showed you before, none of which is too surprising from the standpoint of what we understand to be the job responsibilities of the two working groups. So changing linens, handling sharps, except for that the PCAs are really not supposed to be handling sharps and are not, that's not considered, you know, part of their job duties. Same with changing wound dressings, not something that the PCAs are, is usually found in their, it's not usually found in their scope of work. Inserting catheters, colostomy care. Now, of course, if a personal care assistant is in a waivered program like California's and also Illinois's where you can care for a family member, our sense is that some of these activities that are not typically in the scope of work for a PCA may be done by a family member. We do have the data to look at that. That analysis is not really complete. So this is what we're seeing in terms of our sharps rates per 100 FTE, 12.6 with the RNs. PCA is lower at 3.8, but definitely there. Same with the non-sharps. And the NE is not really a totaled amount from those two. It's if they had one or the other. Here are some odds ratios by those typical activities that we just showed you. So again, comparing the RNs with the PCAs. So in terms of the protection that the personal care assistants got, they do, by and large, 84% report using the right size gloves in the home. But there is a difference in whether or not the employer provided their gloves for them or not. But when it came to the sharps containers, and this was something that we felt like was really amenable to intervention in this population, only 11% of the homes that needed a sharps container had one, which was compared to 59% for those from the RN's perspective. This is just a one way we've sort of sliced this to take a look at, in this case, the issue of the sharps container. So we don't see an association between having a sharps container and having a sharps injury, either in the RNs or in the PCAs. But if you have to dispose of the sharps container, and we don't have a lot of detail about why this is a potential problem, but it definitely is associated with more exposure in the personal care assistant population. So again, just assuming that they're not getting the type of programmatic approach to bloodborne pathogen exposure, so that this is sort of is handled, I guess, in the best way they can possibly think of handling it. So what I would say in summary is that, As with the other projects, we are definitely seeing PCAs and RNs exposed to blood and body fluids and sharps while providing care in the home setting, that the RNs experience is about three times more than the PCAs in this experience, and that although the PCAs are considered to be caregivers rather than health providers, over a third of those reporting an exposure to clients' blood reported handling sharps or changing wound dressings. So we had several limitations. We had different methods for collecting the data. At this point, this is cross-sectional, although, as I said, we will have the opportunity to analyze the time to data shortly. The data suggests compliance with the OSHA standards is inadequate for the RNs and really not applicable at this point to personal care providers. So certainly the taking a look at providing hepatitis B vaccinations, the training, certainly the needle disposal containers is something that needs to be taken a look at, if not for all PCAs, but via some sort of risk assessment for those that are in houses where there's the risk of blood exposure and sharps. Thank you.
Well, first of all, there's some questions for you. All right. So any questions for Kate? Yeah.
Well, there's interventions in both populations. In the RN population, it's an employer-only intervention, and that's kind of being handled a little differently, so I won't go into that now. But in the personal care assistants, the intervention is occurring during, in the state of Illinois, there's mandatory training, so quarterly for the PCAs, right. But given the nature of the relationship with the employer and the project, which has a labor management and advisory committee, and then there's sort of been a standing agenda item on the labor management committee to about the project and the, you know, the status of the project, that the employer has certainly had, you know, access to all the data as it's been available. But the actual well, actually, Joe, you could probably talk about this too, because Leslie, they have another wing of the study, if you will, another arm of the study, is to both survey and intervene at the level of the employer. So there's another whole effort going on in Illinois through an association of home care providers. So it's not targeted to just the one employer who has the workers here. But that hasn't, you know, we have survey data for that, and, you know, I don't know that we've actually taken the tack that there's this risk assessment piece that has to go. It's been a little bit more general than that. Yeah, no, I know. Yeah. So Joe or Rosie, you may want to, you know, talk a little bit more about the training that's planned. And that, I mean, there's already been a lot of training and educational activities for home care employers in Illinois.
They can give to the client to put on their refrigerator to say, you know, it's not just a problem for you, it's a problem for anyone in your family or for anybody who's in the household. And this is where you can go to get a real sharps container if you don't have one of those. Because the Walgreens, I mean, not to give a trade, but if you go to Walgreens and ask for it and know to ask for it, they will hand, if you're a patient there and you're getting your other stuff, they'll give you a free one. If you don't ask for it, it's $4 for a little tiny thing that nobody's going to get. So, and none of the other chains seem to rely on doing that. So we
Well, and I think that that risk assessment piece may eventually play a role. I mean, in all, you know, to their credit at this point, we had focus group. We had a sense from the focus group data early in the project that there certainly was blood and sharps exposure. But this is the beginning of the quantitative data coming and becoming available to management. And I think that because of the brittle funding stream, I see a model where it's not going to be everybody that, you know, gets the push, because I think it's just not possible.
Bob, I'm trying to understand something about the needle sticks that occurred at PCAs, to the personal, you know, to the home attendants. I assume these must be needles that are in the home that the client has, that are kind of lying around.
Insulin.
Or
lancets, yeah.
Related to diabetes care?
Mostly,
okay. So, Angela just told me that, I mean, I'm thinking about my mother. She's 95, she's had diabetes for a million years. And she had diabetes needles, right, lying in her house.
Of course.
We have a caregiver who's with her. I don't think, come to think of it, that she uses a safety needle when she gives herself her diabetes injection. I just kind of like realized, oh, you know, I'm like, you know, next for right here. She doesn't use the same thing. So I'm assuming that must be like one slice of the problem that might, in terms of interventions,
absolutely,
help to protect the PCAs who are going, because they're not bringing the needles themselves into the house.
No.
The needles that are there by the client. So I'm just thinking, so my mother goes to Walgreens and she buys an insulin needle. She's buying a non-safety insulin needle. So,
from Long's,
or Long's, or wherever, she's getting it from the drugstore for her diabetes. Well, she orders it. I don't know. She gets it somewhere. Medicare pays for it.
And that's the key. And I had a discussion in Massachusetts because we're dealing with the community disposable needles issue.
Yes.
And so everybody's worried about the waste haulers and Susie on the playground. And I said, but you guys, what if we had home care workers using safety devices? Now, that's in Dickinson, but that's change Medicare so that you can get the red sharps boxes covered. Why don't you also push to change Medicare coverage to get these safety needles?
What did they say?
And they said no, it wasn't worth it, it was too expensive, it would be too much of a barrier, and it didn't solve the problem. But I said, but you have all these home care workers, and they're getting stuck. And so I think that's another reason why all this home care work is so important.
Some elderly patients refer to their caregivers and say, oh, I can't find my glasses.
Yeah.
I think we should think about having a meeting with the home care people. We're talking to the, as I said, the client here. We should plan and organize a conference. The American Association of Home Care, more than that, SEIU, a lot of
Medicare.
Medicare.
The key players at that table where we can present our data.
CMS.
We'll have to do it short and sweet, but all of us.
We're
showing something here, but we're not the ones who can make that change. We need to get that data to the right one.
Just a comment about the healthcare system is, if some of these clocks were all part of the national healthcare system, where the national healthcare system, you know, what kind of rationale would that be? Instead of like, oh, we have to pay for it.
Yeah.
We have to pay these workers. Yeah. It's not, oh, that's the workers' comp of someone over here that we don't care about.
Yeah.
Oh, it's all somebody has to pay the cost.
That's
though.
The thing.
And just also said, we're essentially out of time, though people are welcome to stay and talk more, and I know we have some of us would like to hear some about the healthcare training, but I want to make one general comment that what I'm hearing is that I know we've been meeting over the last couple of years at APHA and presenting results, and a lot of it has been the research into risk factors, and now we're actually at this really critical, and it's kind of similar to what Linda was talking about in our project. There's a certain point at which you know what the problem are. You have the documentation, and now the hardest part is how are we going to implement interventions in this population with all of the challenges that everybody has raised. And it really feels like the right time for us to find opportunities to talk together about implementation and policy and what do we actually do, from training, but training is everybody. I mean, super important, but it's not everything, from changing regulations to cover personal care to get to developing interventions that work in the home. It feels like that's the next phase of work that we need to do together and share, either through next year at APHA or other kinds of opportunities to get together. And I don't know if you have some thoughts for us as we move forward.
The problem with organized stuff is travel. So if we organize it, can you guys get there?
If it were in
this
Berkeley.
Year.
People definitely want to come to California.
I think clearly the intervention needs to now be developed, assessed, evaluated.
Right. Right.
Implemented, evaluated, all that needs to be done without funding.
Well, I know this. We need more research to identify interventions. But I know a lot of what we've been talking about in our project is, in the absence of funding, you know, how do you access community-based organizations? What resources are already there? So I think we also probably need to be discussing at some meeting that we have not only the things that require additional funding and additional researches, and what role might we play for communities and organizations that are not going to have access to this research, what kinds of things can we put in place to help those? Because, we can't.
We have to account for every percentage of our effort at
right.
our university.
It's very, very complicated.
It's not a funded item.
Right.
We are not even allowed to go there. And
well, that's often this partnering with organizations.
We shouldn't be giving and giving and giving
right.
without that compensation. Right. But clearly a conference is not a big deal, and I'm happy to write the conference strat. I'm happy to call up some folks I know at NIOSH.
Getting people to come.
And if we did a conference grant, and we could look at these, look at the other hazards too. I mean, we have stress, violence.
Peter, did you have?
Can I just remind people that there are survey evaluation forms for anybody who has not wanted to add something about a comment for next year, and also that there's really great programming going on in the rest of the day, including a session next on health and safety training, and then several sessions after that. So we really ask you to participate if you possibly.
So people who can stay for a few minutes to hear Joe talk a little bit about his work on health and safety training, is that what you're saying? Or like, we'll cluster in the front to have a further discussion, and for everyone else, thank you very much for coming.
Thank you, Laura. Thank you, Laura.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Sure. Thank you. Well, I'm happy with it.
Either way.
I'm surprised it, you know, was a fact. Very integral.